You are going deeper with TGC. Welcome to a special edition of the podcast from the Gospel Coalition. I'm Mark Mellinger. The Hobby Lobby decision has come down, and it went Hobby Lobby's way. Joining me to talk about this big ruling today from the Supreme Court is Dr. Russell Moore, president of the Southern Baptist Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. Dr. Moore, let's first of all start with your thoughts on this, your basic thoughts on the decision, and whether you're surprised at the way it went.
Well, I would be dancing in the streets, but I'm a Southern Baptist, so I don't think I'm supposed to do that.
You don't dance, right?
I'm not supposed to. But I am really elated by this decision. Essentially, what the court said is that the government cannot set itself up as a lord over the conscience. And it was a really important win, not only for the Greens, the Green family, the owners of Hobby Lobby, and not only for evangelical Christians and Roman Catholics, but for everybody. This was a victory, even for the people who are kind of sad-faced about it right now, because it's in their best interest as well as in ours. A government that can pave over our consciences can silence any sort of dissent. And so this was a very good ruling, and I'm thankful to God.
Let me ask you what you think this could portend for religious freedom when it comes to the halls of government in this country in the next 5-10 years, just the years ahead in general. I know this is a big priority of yours. You have pegged this now as a major priority. So what could this portend for religious freedom and the cause of it here in the next few years?
Well, I think we need to look at the good news and the bad news. The good news is we still have a First Amendment. We have a Religious Freedom Restoration Act that the court recognized as protecting people's consciences. So there must be a compelling interest by the government, and the government must show the least restrictive means to get to that interest when it comes to people's deeply held religious convictions. That's the good news. The bad news is that this is the sort of decision that even just a few years ago, it would have been incomprehensible to think that we would even have to be arguing about this in front of the Supreme Court. And so we're going to have churches that are preparing a new generation of people to understand why religious liberty matters. And it matters not just as a political issue. It matters not just as an American guarantee of rights, but it matters because religious liberty is a gospel issue. And so we have to be preparing people to be able to live in a world where just simply carrying out their most basic religious convictions is going to be very controversial.
Let me ask you, does this mean that state by state, on that level, our lawmakers will need to start coming up with religious freedom legislation that can pass? You and I both know what happened last year in Arizona. There was a religious freedom statute proposed, and it did not pass. It was, the media got a hold of it, and I'm not one of those blame the media people, for goodness sake. Yeah. I'm in the media, so I'm not coming at it from that standpoint. But the media did play up certain angles and potentialities that opponents of the bill had brought up, and the thing failed. It just died a quick death. Is that the sort of thing that's going to have to happen, and are you working on that right now?
Well, we have it nationally, Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which is one of the most important pieces of legislation in the last 100 years, really restoring some guarantees that the Supreme Court itself eroded in the early 1990s in a very bad Supreme Court decision. But those guarantees don't apply state by state. Many states have Religious Freedom Restoration Acts. Some states don't. But you're exactly right. We're in the sort of situation now where religious freedom itself has become controversial in a way that it wasn't before. When RFRA, as Religious Freedom Restoration Act is called, was passed in 1993, it was passed with a broad bipartisan support from everybody from Ted Kennedy to Jesse Helms and supported by everybody from the ACLU all the way over to Focus on the Family and us, the Southern Baptists. Now, though, even the most minimal religious liberty protections is often, you can even see it in headlines, religious freedom will be put in scare quotes. And we have to be aware of that. And that's one of the reasons why we have to be constantly talking about why this is not just a self-protective mechanism, because it's not. This is in the best interest of everybody, and this is in the interest of the common good. And so we have to be talking about that. The reason this has become controversial is because religious freedom has now intersected with the sexual revolutionary. With the sexual revolution that wants no dissent at all. And now that has become the issue. So it's much like when the Apostle Paul was preaching the gospel in Ephesus, and the makers of the silver idols of Artemis were threatened by that. The sexual revolution right now is threatened by conscience and by religious freedom, and that's one of the reasons why it's becoming more and more contested.
Mark Mellinger, just a few more minutes with Dr. Russell Moore, president of the Southern Baptist Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. We are talking about the Supreme Court's ruling on the Hobby Lobby decision. Let me ask you, Dr. Moore, will this have any sort of implications on the same-sex marriage controversy? I mean, you were just talking about how all this is conflicting with the sexual revolution, or coinciding, I guess I should say. You know, there have been instances in the not-too-distant past where lawsuits have been built because a certain cake decorator does not want to decorate a cake mm-hmm. for a gay wedding, or a caterer does not want to cater to a gay wedding. And I haven't had time to do the research at this point. I can't remember for sure, but I think those suits may be working their way through the courts right now. Could this decision color those issues at all, should they make their way through the federal courts?
Well, not directly, but what would have been disastrous is if the Supreme Court had gone the other way in the Hobby Lobby decision. That's what I was worried about, because if the Supreme Court had gone the other direction, we would have seen a really awful clampdown on free exercise of religion in this country that would have affected not just those cases that you're talking about, but many others. This case doesn't directly address those issues. It's very specifically directed toward this case and toward upholding the Religious Freedom Restoration Act and the First Amendment guarantees that RFRA protects. And so it's not a direct correlation, but it is important in safeguarding religious liberty itself.
And to underscore the thing I asked you just a couple questions ago, you do think, despite RFRA, states do need to pass their own religious freedom statutes. Yeah, I'm correct in saying that, right?
Well, yes. I think that every state ought to guarantee religious freedom.
And how do we do that in a way that it will pass? In other words, do you know what the weaknesses of the legislation that has not succeeded in places like Arizona and I believe Utah? Do you know what the weaknesses of that legislation were? Is there an effort to circumvent that?
I think the best thing a state could have is essentially what we have at the national level, mm-hmm. the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. That's going to be controversial, unfortunately, as religious freedom itself is right now. But I think that's a good thing for a state to have.
How do Christians give thanks to God for this news, honestly express their opinions about it without being triumphalistic?
Well, to some degree, I think it is good to celebrate, because what we're celebrating is not just a win for us. It's a win for future generations, and it's a win, as I said earlier, for everybody. And so I think there's something good, I think, about hugging one another and rejoicing right now in this win. I think at the same time, we step back and we need to do exactly what the Apostle Paul did when he was contending for his religious freedom before Agrippa and everywhere else, appealing to his Roman citizenship. We don't stop there. We speak to those that we're talking to, and as they said to Paul, would you persuade me to be a Christian? And his answer is yes, and that needs to be what we need to be about, people who are about religious liberty for everybody and people who are also about seeking to engage our neighbors lovingly and persuasively and non-coercively with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Mark Mellinger, just a couple more minutes with Dr. Russell Moore as we talk about the Hobby Lobby decision. How well do you know the Green family, the family that is behind Hobby Lobby and that was behind this suit. How well do you know them? What can you tell us about them?
They're a Southern Baptist family from Oklahoma. We had them with us at our presentation before the Southern Baptist Convention, our ERLC presentation. And I actually presented the Green family with the John Leland Award for Religious Liberty there. And we, the entire denomination gathered. We got on our knees and prayed for them and for religious liberty at home and around the world. And the reason why I gave them that award is because John Leland was an old Virginia Baptist preacher in the Revolutionary era who didn't trust the government when it came to religious liberty. He wanted the guarantees written down and demanded a First Amendment guarantee of religious liberty, and really persuaded James Madison and Thomas Jefferson to do that. And so we named this award after him, and we presented that to the Greens because these are people who really have given their entire year in a court system simply because they are standing by their consciences and to say, we cannot render to Caesar that which does not belong to Caesar. And that's our obligations that we have to God, which means that we just cannot pay for abortion-causing drugs. And so they're heroes, and they're faithful, godly people. They're humble people. They weren't seeking the spotlight in this. And the Obama administration forced this, this controversy, not the Green family.
Have you had a chance to talk with the Greens since the news came out?
Not yet, because I've been on CNN literally since before the decision came down. So you're the first person I've talked to.
Well, hey, it's a privilege and an honor, and I appreciate that. Yeah, it seems like a bad part of this, and I think it's a good reminder though for the rest of us that persecution comes in many forms. Would you say it's fair to say that the Greens have gotten a bad rap in the media in many circles?
Of course they have, and that's to be expected. But one of the things that happened at our SBC meeting at the ERLC report, we had the Greens on the platform, and we also had Naghmé Abedini, whose husband Saeed is in a prison in Iran right now. And it's a good reminder that while we have to stand and fight sometimes for our First Amendment guarantees here in the United States, we also ought to be remembering those who right now are literally in chains being tortured around the world and be fighting for religious liberty, not just here, but everywhere.
Let's end it by driving it all home. Would it be correct to say that freedom of conscience, especially when it comes to religion, is at the heart of what this country is all about? I mean, even in the past, haven't both liberal and conservative scholars agreed? If we have an American creed, freedom of conscience is absolutely one of the three or four centerpieces of it. And this is what today's ruling speaks to.
Yes, because if you don't have religious liberty, then none of the other rights matter at all. A government that can set itself up over your conscience when it comes to your obligation before God is a government that can do anything. And so all our other freedoms are dependent upon that first freedom.
Dr. Russell Moore, president of the Southern Baptist and Ethics Religious Liberty Commission, speaking to me just about within an hour of the decision coming down. So I appreciate you making the time. Thanks again, brother. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you, Mark.
You have been going deeper with TGC.